My guest on the Global Observatory today is Comfort Aero, Programme Director for Africa at the International Crisis Group. Thank you for speaking with us today, Comfort. Last month, Boko Haram kidnapped more than 200 schoolgirls in Nigeria's northeastern Borno state. What does this tell us about the evolution of this insurgent group and its reach today?
It tells us that Boko Haram has evolved into a pure terrorist group, targeting more vulnerable sections of society, preying on soft targets and increasingly resembling Uganda's Lord's Resistance Army. It also tells us that the group's motives are more ambiguous than its original claims by its founding father, Muhammad Yusuf, who said that he wanted to create a strict Islamic state in the north, meaning also the full implementation of Sharia. As you know, the group came into recognition officially, attention came in 2002. But following a major uprising in 2009, leading to the extrajudicial execution of Yusuf at the police station headquarters in Maiduguri, it started to mount major operations against state security apparatus, including barracks and police bars. And it also began assassinating in parallel politicians who they blamed for the country's poor governance and corruption. But I think what we're seeing today, and very much reminiscent of what we've seen in the last 5 years, is that the group has expanded its violence campaign to include now a broad spectrum of society. So it's targeting Christians, critical Muslim clerics who don't buy into its approach and tactics, traditional leaders, suspected collaborators, even the UN agencies, as well as other softer targets, including students at state circular schools, marketplaces, health workers that are dealing with polio vaccination. So the group also typifies other terrorist groups such as Somalia's Al-Shabaab or the AQIM in the Maghreb area. And its tactics have also become more audacious. They've evolved from shootings to use of IEDs and suicide attacks, both in response to increased counter-offensive by Nigeria's state security services, and in an effort to spur sectarian violence as well.
Are we seeing the height of Boko Haram's violence right now?
I mean, I would argue that the abduction of these girls is probably the boldest form of violent action that we've seen by Boko Haram since its insurgency in 2010. This abduction represents the most heinous act and the one that has captured vast outrage. The only other incident by Boko Haram that captured some degree of international attention was its bombing of the UN building in Abuja in 2011.
Comfort, what's your assessment of the Nigerian government's response?
My sense is that the government has been caught off guard. I mean, everything that it's done, campaign around Bring Back Our Girls, the government appears to be playing catch-up. And that will have to say that the government hasn't tried to pursue various initiatives prior to this incident. Prior to the abductions, we saw a more heavy-handed, more militaristic. We saw the use of state of emergencies in the four affected states in northern Nigeria, deployment of the military and other strands of security into the east of the country. We've also seen the mobilization of joint task security forces at state level. We've also seen the creation of civilian vigilante groups to support the government in dealing with Boko Haram. But these approaches have tended to be very militaristic. The government has also explored amnesty or suggestions of dialogue, but these have tended to be haphazard and to be ad hoc. Since this latest crisis, the government, in reaction to local, national, regional, and international urging, is now beginning to try to respond, but it's very reactionary. It's also worth noting, however, that in March, a month before the abduction, the National Security Advisor came up with a strategic communication plan, a soft approach, as he called it, to dealing with counterterrorism. And that approach covers a range of issues to deal with what he calls the need to win hearts and minds, including working with communities to deal with the insurgencies that Boko Haram represents, but also equipping Nigeria's army to appropriately and professionally conduct military operations against the group.
How does all of this tie into the broader context in the Sahel region?
Well, one of the key questions that people have asked us is whether Boko Haram has any regional link to groups outside of Nigeria. And in our report that we wrote last month, we explained both the external links and the financial networks and how some of those point to the region, particularly the Sahel. We indicated that Boko Haram benefited from an association with AQIM and its splinter group Majao in Mali. We pointed to the fact that these groups have boosted Boko Haram's capacity, particularly in terms of financial resource, military arsenals, train of facilities that were made available. Those links do not necessarily remain solid today, but the key issue is that they're very clearly, at least according to the Nigerian military, suggest that there are significant transnational links. I think the threat is greater for Nigeria's nearer neighbours, such as Cameroon and Niger. And in particular, Cameroon has seen more impact than any other country because Boko Haram has tended to use the country as a rare base for its operations. And also we've seen Boko Haram linked to various kidnappings in northern Cameroon and very much extending its reach to that part of the country.
Nigeria currently has a seat on the UN Security Council and has requested that Boko Haram be added to the Al-Qaeda sanctions list. What effect is this likely to have?
Well, it will certainly internationalise the threats that Boko Haram poses. There will be a recognition that by the international community that the group is exactly what it is today, a pure terrorist group, thereby placing it in the same camp as Al-Qaeda. It's worth noting that last June, Nigeria proscribed Boko Haram and the other splinter group, Ansaru, labelling their activities terrorism. And as we noted in our report, it warns that any persons associated with the two groups would be liable to face prosecution. And in 2012, the US named the group's leader, Abu Bakr Shekau, and the two other lieutenants as specially designated terrorists. So there's already been a move, at least by Nigeria and the US, to label it as a terrorist activity.
What other roles can the international community play to defuse this threat and to bring back the abducted girls?
What we've seen right now by the international community is an important step. I mean, the international assistance, including surveillance, intelligence gathering, are all important activities. And of course, the urgent priority is to secure the release of the abducted girls. We're now in the second month. But we should also be careful, since a military intervention or the nature of a military exercise itself could exacerbate the situation. It's clear that Boko Haram is now a regional problem, but it's also clear that we have to tread carefully. The key, I think, would be to see a more concerted, coordinated regional strategy and response. Potentially what we saw from Paris last weekend, the Paris summit, was probably the beginning of a coordinated regional international strategy. That is important because the weakest link so far has been a concerted or systematic effort at the regional level to deal with Boko Haram both nationally and regionally. So they're coming together on the international to deal with this. It's good, but at the end of the day, as much as the role of the international community is important and is welcome and relevant, all roads do lead back to Nigeria, and Nigeria taking ownership of the problem and defining for itself what must be done to prevent groups like Boko Haram from emerging. Clearly, there are a host of grievances that have allowed groups like this to fester, and the government needs to deal with this. It also needs to deal with a range of other issues around impunity, corruption, bad governance, and also to investigate crimes that have been committed both by Boko Haram but also by state security forces.
Comfort, thank you very much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you.